Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning, so we are talking about feedback, question and answers, and our ongoing series on developing supernatural goals. Hope you did your homework, so you're ready to move forward the next steps. We've got two tracks of homework going, one on, shall we say, the positive aspects of the supernatural and one on the negative aspects of soulical healing that we need and dealing with obstacles and interferences. What we've been looking at is also a mini teaching on fear and faith. We often get, one of the reasons we talk very often about jargon is because we use these terms to, a lot of times, protect ourselves or hide from something God wants to do in our lives in a greater way. And in that, what we have a tendency to do is believe that since other people are using the terms in a certain way, that we all agree on what those terms mean. And that's just not true. When I say fear and faith, odds are I'm thinking something totally different than you are. So what I'd like to do instead is, if we're going to use terms like that, let's really explain what we mean by what we say. So we've been talking about fear and faith in relationship to stepping out in and dealing with what God is doing in the supernatural realm. And we remind ourselves that God is always moving in all realms. He is an active God. He's always involved in our lives. He's always involved in arranging the circumstances of our lives. But more importantly, He is involved in bringing us into the process. Think for a minute about the whole concept of faith. It's very often used to present or control how we face a difficult situation. We're told that if we don't have enough faith, God isn't going to respond. You know, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But we're also told, you know, certain techniques in order to gain and keep faith. And yet, when we really think about it, we are still left to muddle around with what those people telling you to do this, that, really think faith is. You know, we've got the scriptures, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And yet, what does that mean? How does that relate to our relationship with God as a real person? What it comes down to, most of us use the term equivalently with believing. If you just believe. And yet, what is that? It's a function of your mind. Now back up a little bit more. Your mind is part of your soul. A lot of times people will also interject the concept of your heart, believing with all your heart. And what does that mean? So we keep on going back farther and farther, trying to find terms, yet without really nailing down what it is about the relationship with God that we want to focus on. This is why we want to look at the three realms of reality in a totally different way, rather than using the terms and even scriptural references that are so common, because we've come to accept their vagueness. When they were originally, let's take the letters of Paul, they were written to specific people for a specific reason, and they had specific meaning. I don't know about you, but I go back through my, you know, the letters occasionally that I've, you know, received from my friends way back in the, you know, in high school and college and stuff, and go, gosh, I sure hope they've grown up since then. It's a letter. It's an instruction. It's an encouragement. But there was an underlying assumption that the purpose of the letter, there was a purpose for the letter. Paul especially was addressing specific situations and specific needs in any given situation to the church at Ephesus, to the church at Corinth, to the church at Thessalonica. And yet we've taken those letters, those correspondences. Now, I think he probably knew that they'd be passed around as they were passed around. But I don't think he ever imagined that a couple thousand years later, they'd be the formation for doctrine by people not even speaking his language. So we're told then to rely on our concordance, and that those who have more experience in scholarship, in interpreting the Bible, and more letters behind their name, they will tell us what it means. And think about this for a minute. How often are we relying on someone to interpret what somebody else's interpretation is about what this particular author meant? And even Paul himself said, this is an inspiration from the Lord, but this is something I'm just thinking out of wisdom, based on wisdom from the Lord. So he himself recognized that he was incapable of putting down on paper the totality of what God was trying to get across to his people. And even his encouragement was that we would know him face to face, that we would know him in his presentness, that we would be reconciled to him fully. And so, where does that leave us? Is that what we are left with, is to rely on interpreters? Of course the answer is no. We have within us and we have been changed in order to be able to receive all knowledge, all understanding, all wisdom. Now, just to give you a little parallel thought, we also hear a lot about hope, faith, hope, and love. And hope is often something positive we want. We hope we get this, or we hope we can accomplish this, or we hope what we believe is true. And yet we are always afraid of losing our hope. That if we lose our hope, you know, we have to keep our hope pumped up. We have to keep our faith and our beliefs pumped up. Because if we don't, we'll backslide. Or we'll disappoint God. We'll make him sad. And yet, think about how we can truly lose our hope the way God wants it. When you are going to, if you're hoping you're going to get a special gift, let's say you're hoping for a watch for Christmas, when do you lose your hope? On Christmas. You either get your watch or you don't. If you don't get it, you lose your hope because you know that you were hoping for the wrong thing. If you do get it, your hope is gone because it's been fulfilled. But there was a specific time your hope is fulfilled. Well, that's true also for faith. We want to be specific about what we are believing in and believing for. The difference is we're not going to put that off until we die. We all have experiences here on this earth where we believe something, you know, God wants something for us. God has a purpose and a plan for our life, for instance. And we believe that someday it's going to come to pass. And that if we just believe, if we just have enough faith, God's going to do it all for us. Or God will make a way, or, you know, you fill in the blank. God will provide the resources we need in order to accomplish it. Yet if we don't get specific and bring it into our reality, our present reality, and start taking authority and responsibility for ruling and reigning in this time, over this time, we lose out, we miss precisely what we were hoping for, what we were having faith for, because we were putting it all on God. You know, if somebody prays, you know, if you need a healing and somebody prays for you, and everybody else is getting healed, but you're not getting healed, so often what's the excuse? Well, you didn't have enough faith. Or say you believe you got a healing, but then you went home and the pain comes back. Well, you didn't keep your faith up. You need to keep your beliefs, you know, up at a certain level. You didn't really have the faith. You didn't really have the belief. It's not that maybe you didn't really receive the healing. So we want to be very realistic about what we mean by what our words are. And start taking authority and responsibility for those words. And fear and faith, neither one of them is a good motivator. We try to keep ourselves pumped up through, going to church, several times a week and reading our Bibles every day and listening to scripture, music, worship music on the way to work to keep ourselves pumped up. But really, what does that do? Very often it keeps us from being quiet enough to really allow God to speak to us. Give him the opportunity, the chance. In this world, right now, you already have received all the faith you will ever need. And I can say that regardless of what your beliefs are about faith, about what it really means. Because I know that if you are a Christian, in your spirit, as a spirit being, you have already received everything you need for life and godliness in this world. You have received eternal life. You have received a new nature, a new identity, a new character. You have, regardless of what you mean or understand anything to be, God has already given it to you. So when we are often distracted by trying to keep our head in the right place or our mind in the right place, our feelings or emotions in the right place, our heart, or are be doing the right things and saying the right things, that's a distraction from resting in God. And waiting for him to give you the go. We look at examples in the scriptures. And sometimes an illustration will speak to us, or we're taught it in church, that this is what you're called to do, or this is your purpose here on this earth. And it may even be exciting and sound good to you. And so we grab it, and we take it, and we run with it, and we decide, or we're taught, that if we do this, we will be satisfied. And we will please God, and we will receive rewards. And he will give us the faith we need. And yes, there will be struggles, and we know that. But if we just have faith, we can get through it. And yet, that's not what God says he's going to do. God never said, get your purpose from the Bible or from the scriptures or from the example of what somebody else did. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. I love the example of Moses where he's sort of, having a little conversation with God about getting the Israelites out of bondage and into a new land where they can come and worship him. And God's telling him how he's going to do this. And the final promise he gives him is, Moses is saying, how am I going to do this? You're not sending anybody with me. And yet, God says, I will go with you. And I will give you rest. Not faith, not power, not wisdom, but rest. Now, did Moses get rest? Did he sit around all day? No. That rest was made evident in his life by his dependence on God. He accomplished great things because God gave him rest. He didn't have to figure out how he was going to storm the gates, how he was going to set the captives free. That was God's problem. All he had to do was rest. God would give him the instruction he needed. And yet we know later that those instructions got very specific. But this is our whole challenge we have in putting some of our own understanding, our own beliefs that have given us comfort . And I think one of the reasons it gives us comfort is because it puts off any responsibility. We sometimes think, all I have to do is get through this life. And then when I die or whatever, get into heaven, all my questions will be answered, everything will be fine. And depending on your beliefs about what you believe here, is, you know, you get a big crown, you get to sit on the throne, you get, you know, to rule and reign over angels, and on and on and on. And I just point out that particular aspect has nothing, doesn't have any future tense in it at all. Don't you know you shall judge angels? Is a present tense. But what are we to do then about that fear and that faith? If you've already received it, and we're not going to put it off till the sweet by and by, how do we operate now? And this is why I think it's so much easier to hide behind these phrases, is because then you don't have to do anything. Just get through. But God never said you were a muddler. You're not just to muddle through. He says you're an overcomer. You are an overcomer. Not you will be. You are an overcomer. And you already have everything you need to do that. And that fear and that faith, they're never good motivators. You will never be able to keep yourself stirred up enough, regardless of what you do, to make it through what God has planned for each one of us. In perfect rest. That rest only comes from God Himself. And you already have it. Again, in your spirit, you already have that rest. You already have everything you need. Now, of course, there's a distinction between being afraid and living in fear. But fear of our consequences is never a long-term motivator. I was talking to a friend, a coworker, some time ago, and someone else, another coworker, had just become a Christian and was trying to convert my friend, and was telling him all about how terrible hell was. And he was asking me about it and was saying, I don't think hell would be that bad. All my friends would be there. How can you argue with that? But the whole point was that it was real hard to argue with that because it was basically irrational. It's so far in the future for people to think about consequences. And when you say, well, here I can prove there's a hell, and you open a book, or I can prove there's a heaven, or I can prove there's a God, and you open a book. Sorry, you know, the only way someone will believe that is if they believe in the book. So you're not helping someone to establish relationship with God. You're helping them to believe in a book. We all know God is real. And knowing him face to face is not about believing in a book. It's believing in him. So our faith is based on knowing him, having a relationship with a real God, a living God. And when we, again, the difference between being afraid and having fear. When we experience that fear, if it's an emotion, it'll come and go. If it's a wound, we need to learn how to get it healed, how to go to God and get that wound healed. It's a red flag. Just as someone telling you, well, you just need more faith, or keep the faith, or just hold on to your faith, or this is what you need to do to keep your faith level high. Those are all red flags to me that person doesn't have any answers. And you need to go to God. God, what do I do in the situation? And the process is what's important. Who are you relying on? Who are you depending on? Is God alive or not? Can he speak for himself or not? Can we hear him or not? It's amazing how sometimes even pastors marvel at the whole concept of being able to hear God for themselves. So think on these things, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about it next week as well. So hopefully you're moving forward in your homework. Continue to think about what you'd like to learn about the supernatural realm, about what interests you, and also with that, write down things you aren't interested in that don't hold any interest. Narrow those things down too. And don't worry at this point about why they might not be interesting, but for right now, sort of have the top, this is something you're really interested in learning about or knowing about or experiencing. And at the bottom, these are things that just don't interest me at all, or you know, you don't even think they're real or whatever, just the bottom, very interested to not interested at all. And if you want to, you know, put a whole bunch of things down and put them on a scale, you know, to help you sort these things through, that's fine. We'll start getting into a little bit more detail with those things and developing how to go about setting some goals in that area. Likewise, in your other area where you're working on overcoming the interferences from the past that are keeping you from moving forward now. You've gone into your future 5 years from now and picked 3 days and described those perfect days, what exactly everything would be like. I want you to go back now and look at those days very objectively and remember that you may have to rewrite them. Now, from a perspective of you can't change others. You can only change yourself. So now, what would that situation be if you were the only one that was changed? you were the only one that had those wounds healed. Rather than, okay, now this person is nice to me. Now, you know, this relation is restored. Really focus on you. What has changed about you in that situation? Okay, so we're working towards the end point. We have developed a starting point. Now we're looking at the end point. Just keep going. We're getting somewhere. It may not seem like it, but again, it's the process that's important. Because through this, you're relying on God. You're asking Him, Lord, what is the situation here? What is the truth here? You know, what do you think about this? Talk to me about this. And that's what's important, is letting Him speak to you through this process and heal you as He chooses. So we'll be meeting again on Monday. Probably be an early program. Oh, no, it'll be the same 7:30. Sorry about that. And again on Tuesday and Thursday, regular schedule next week. And then we will be getting back together again at 9 o'clock next Saturday. So have a great rest of the weekend, and we'll get together then. Continue your homework. If you've got any questions, feel free to drop me a line. I'd be happy to help you where I can. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.